Good morning, everyone. Please be seated for our announcements. A couple of things. I promised that as I was settling into the city of London, I would share with you my adventures and my thoughts and reviews of the different experiences of the diocese that I've had from week to week. So last week on Thursday, I managed to drive up to Camp Huron to meet with Jerry Adams. What an incredible place. It is beautiful, it is peaceful, it is serene, and that is including it being full of kids. And so that just tells of the miracle of the place. It is a very, very special place, so I was thrilled to get there. A few more announcements for the life of the church. The services for next week are going to be at this time, at 10 o'clock, and then after the long weekend, we're going to go into our two services of, I believe it's 9:30 and, 8:30 and 10. I will be 8:30 and 10:30. I'll be here. I promise. I live right next door. Someone will drag me out if I get that wrong, I'm sure. So 8:30 and 10:30, not next week, but the week after. With that, I would like to invite Julie up for an announcement.
Good morning, everyone. So I am here with two opportunities to share with you, to be involved with the church. The first one is, as you probably know, we're celebrating our 150th anniversary this year, and there'll be some activities later in the fall for our congregation. But part of that celebration is that St. James is one of 26 sites that's part of Doors Open London this year. And if you've ever been to it, it's really fun. Museums, cultural organizations, historical sites often open their doors. It's September 16th through 17th. So that's Saturday, Sunday, and we're going to be open from noon to four. So anybody can come in, see the church. We'll have displays in the Great Hall. We'll have a self-guided tours here in this space. There's going to be a play. So Adam Corrigan Hollowitz has written a play about this neighborhood, and he'll be staging it right here at 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock both days. So it's going to be a lot going on. And we need you. We need you to volunteer. So there's 26 volunteer spots each of the 2 days. You can be a greeter. You can be a tour guide. And we've got a really nice script that you can read so you'll have the information that you need. And then there are some other roles as well. So I encourage you to come out after the service. I've got sign-up sheets and more information about the different roles. And some of my co-committee members will be dragging you over to sign you up. So please consider signing up for a shift. They're 2.5 hours long. So that's the first thing I wanted to tell you about. The second is that we are organizing a series of events to welcome Michael and Heather to the community and to get to know us a little bit better. Several people have already signed up to host a dinner or a brunch or an afternoon gathering. So we're looking for more people to sign up to host an event, and we're looking for people to go to those events. So there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board of the events that have already been scheduled. And if you'd like to host something, just a small dinner or coffee or even a walk
Absolutely.
In the park, anything, Michael's up for it. So if you want to host something, you can sign up for that as well. Thanks so much.
Our service continues on page 185 of the Green Book or on our screen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Almighty God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are taught by your word that all our doings without love are worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtue. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual workshop. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually, we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So my undergraduate degree is in conflict resolution. It's a very, very handy degree. I use it very often in the life of the church. But one of the things that the scripture readings today really resonated with me was an early lesson that I learned in conflict resolution. And it's a lesson that I found incredibly helpful, but I also don't like. And that is the saying, perception is reality. Has anyone heard that before? Perception is reality. Basically, what it means is when two people are in a conflict or in a conversation or in any kind of interaction, how they engage in that interaction, what they believe happens there, is what they take away and act as if it is the truth. Even two people in the same interaction can go away with completely different understandings of what happened. And when you're dealing with someone, you've got to engage with their perception, their reality. In cognitive behavioral therapy, a technique of examining thought processes, it's called a cognitive bias of mind reading. Have anyone of us been guilty of being in a situation like, oh, they're only saying that because they don't like me or this or that? Well, let's play a hypothetical game, shall we? Let's imagine that you belong to a beautiful parish that has just hired a new priest. Very hypothetical, I know. But let's say that you're down on Warrencliffe and you're at the Tim Hortons there, and you decide, oh, wouldn't it be nice if I bought a coffee and brought it to the new priest? A lovely thing to do. So you come in this charming, dashing, intelligent, dignified, super refined new priest, and you present this coffee that you just bought for them. And this priest says, oh, I don't drink coffee, but thanks. Let's play a game. How many of you think that that would be incredibly rude? We've got a couple hands up. How many of you might think, oh man, I should have asked if he liked coffee before he went? A couple more. So if that was to theoretically happen in this congregation, for some people, the response would be, I am really sorry that I offended you. I'm really sorry that I was rude. And for the other half, the response would be, thank you so much for being thoughtful. I really appreciated that gift. Those are completely different responses to exactly the same situation. But it's how we perceive that event took place that requires the response that we give. Perception is reality. If you perceived this new priest was being rude, then they were being rude. If you perceived that you had done something wrong and should have been more thoughtful or should have checked, well, then that's the reality that you live in. It's an incredibly useful and incredibly powerful tool when dealing with people to recognize that they tend to live in a construct of their own perceptions. Their perceptions are their reality. But here's why I don't like that. Because it becomes a tool to let you jump into somebody else's shoes to get what you want or get the result that you want. It's incredibly helpful. But if there's not something bigger, something grander, something more akin to the truth of the universe behind it, then what are we really doing? You see, Paul, in our first reading today, encourages us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which means that no matter how we are, no matter the perceptions that we believe are around us, the world that we're in, how we see it, all of us are encouraged to grow deeper, to grow broader, to grow wider in the understanding of the way that God perceives the world. And the question is, how do we do that? How do we actually learn and know the mind of God so that we can begin to step out of our own perceptions into God's perceptions? In the Anglican Church, we have an answer for that. It's a threefold answer. The first is reason. We've got to use our heads, use our thoughts, use our intellect. The second is tradition, the traditions that have been handed down to us from generations and generations of faithful Christians. And the third, one that I think is incredibly important, is Scripture. Scripture is at the center of how we know who God is. God has revealed himself through these stories, and it's up to us to continue to read them, to continue to learn them, to continue to grow with them, so that as we travel through our lives, we begin to see those parallels and those harmonies. Oh man, today I feel like Elisha after the encounter with the prophets of Baal. I just feel like everyone's out to get me. Oh, today I feel like Mary, that I could lift my voice and magnify the Lord. We're invited to engage with Scripture on a deep, fundamental, and personal level so that it becomes the language in which we tell our own narrative. The story of this church can be echoed and found throughout Scripture. And so as we grow deeper and closer in our knowledge of God, when we begin to have that ability to step outside of our perception and into God's perception, I think that's what happened to Peter. The disciples and Jesus in our second reading were in Caesarea Philippi. Now, if any of you have ever been to the Holy Land or done a tour, Caesarea Philippi is north of the area where Jesus lived. It is an incredibly lush and beautiful environment in the Judean area, more lush and more beautiful than others. And it was also the place of temples to the Roman gods. Now, somebody can do a little deeper research than I did this Sunday, and I think the temple was either to Pan or to Athena. But this was a religious pilgrimage site. This was a place where you went to encounter one of the Roman gods. And it was surrounded with lush gold, tapestry, richness. Everything there was designed to draw your attention towards the Roman power, the Roman truth of their divine entities, their beings. They wanted to make this an experience that you would forget your ordinary life and be caught up in the cult of the Roman gods. And it was in this place where so much was designed to distract and to take you away from yourself that Jesus asks the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And here's how we know that we can step outside of our perception. Because Peter did it. And throughout Matthew, you'll hear that Peter often just doesn't get it. He misses the ball. He misses the mark. Jesus is constantly trying to correct him and bring him back into line. But here Jesus acknowledges something incredible, that Peter sees with a divine insight that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the one who can teach us about how God moves and lives and breathes into this world. And Jesus is amazed. And on this rock, I will build my church. That's us. We are the body of Christ here in this world. And we are many members. We are very different. We see things from left on the political spectrum to right on the political spectrum. We see things in so many different ways. But isn't that beautiful? Because God gives us each other. God gives us each other so that we can be challenged to grow and to perceive outside of our narrow box into the way that God perceives the world. I think this is an incredible gift. But it comes with a tremendous amount of responsibility. The last lines in our gospel have been used for such violence by the church. It says, "What you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. And what you loose on earth, I will loose in heaven." Those two lines of scripture have been used to justify excommunication, have been used to justify torture, crusades, you name it. The church has used these words so that it can bind in heaven the things that it wants on earth. But I think for us, especially in light of our first reading, it's more of a challenge. What we bind on earth are perceptions that we cling to, are what the church is bound into. And by that I mean, there might be some lovely people in the congregation who might be a little bit messy. If we say that they're messy people, then we're binding them to that category. And we prevent the chance for them to be more, to grow in new and different ways, to surprise us from our own expectations. Heather said something interesting on our way up to Camp Huron. What makes a corny joke funny or not? And it was whether you like the person who says it. I thought that was incredibly profound. What makes a corny joke funny is whether you like the person or not. If we are willing, and this is a big ask, to step outside our perceptions, to let go our categories that we have for ourselves and for each other, then we give God a chance to do something new, something incredible, something that can fundamentally shake us to our core and shape how we see the world around us. If we're willing to let go of our perceptions and to see the world, to see each other, to see our church the way God sees it, wouldn't that be an amazing thing? And that's my hope for us. That's my hope for this congregation. That's my hope for each one of us individually. But I know it is an incredibly difficult task. And that is why God has given us each other. Our job with each other is to encourage, is to support, is to call out the good things that we see God doing in each other. In seminary, one of the first lessons that we're taught is that one compliment about what you're doing is worth 50 criticisms. That's pretty amazing. We are so quick to say, oh, this isn't the way that I would like it. And yet so slow to call out and to say how wonderful the good things are that are happening around us. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this day I encourage you to go from this place, letting go of our perceptions and being willing to see with God's eyes each other and the world around us. Amen. I'd invite you to stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, our Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He descended.
Gathered as the Church of God, members of the body of Christ, let us pray together. Fill your church, O Lord, with life and energy, spiritual health and vitality. As we feed on you, may we grow more like you. May we exercise your loving. Minister with your tenderness. Serve with your humility. And cooperate with your vision. In you, our Lord, is all meaning and truth. Fill your world, O Lord, with wonder at creation, recognition of our mutual human responsibility, desire for reforming what is at fault, and hope in the possibilities of living at peace with God and with one another. In you, O Lord, is all meaning and truth. Fill our homes and our neighborhoods, O Lord, with the generosity and trust that allows space, but is always ready to encourage and support. May we cherish our bodies, minds, and spirits as temples containing your spirit, and honor one another as people of your making. In you, O Lord, is all meaning and truth. We pray for all who are ill at home or in hospital, for all in emergency surgery or in casualty, for those who have just discovered that they have injuries or illnesses that will change their lives. And we remember especially Sylvia Brightwell, Eunice Smith, Christine Scott, and Tom Burrell. We pray also for the work of all who heal and comfort, all who visit the sick and counsel the distressed. In you, O Lord, is all meaning and truth. We pray for the dying and those who love them. We pray for those who have completed this life and have made the journey through death. And today we remember especially Debbie Greenshield's father, Janet Duplan, mother of Gord Duplan, and we ask that God give comfort to their families, and we pray for the work of those who comfort the bereaved. In you, O Lord, is all the truth. Fill our hearts, O Lord, with thankfulness and praise as we recall your faithfulness and live in your love. And we ask, merciful Father, to accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Thank you. Let us pray. God of glory, receive all that we offer you this day as a symbol of our love, and increase in us that true and perfect gift. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. And now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church and gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship has come to a close, but our service to each other and to God's world now begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Thanks be to God.